Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 90 Time the Game live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta United tonight against the New England Revolution, and we're taking it to 6:30 and the pregame show with Mike and Jason. This hour of the program is brought to you by Northside Hospital. For a healthier future together, look to Northside Hospital. John Fricke in for Carl today alongside Mike Bell. And Mike Bell, we finally got a win against the Double A's in Oakland. Yay!
Yeah, this has been a very, very strange series. As Grant will tell us, as Grant McCauley joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline, you get one of these every once in a while. But Grant, we get the win. We'll talk about last night in a second, but today, the big inning. Top of the fifth, they really got things rolling.
Yeah, crooked number, I think, is what they call them. And the Braves were looking for one of those in the worst kind of way in this series. And it is just, I mean, I know people don't want to hear it because you feel like you should walk into Oakland at the very least, win two out of three, or sweep the series because they have been that bad. And I have confirmed that through research. But it just didn't play out that way in this series. And Oakland, you know, in the old baseball colloquialism, tip of the cap for the way they pitched the Braves the last couple of days. But Atlanta finally able to wake a few things up, get the big hit, the big home run from Ozzie Albies, and get some runs on the board. Then when they needed an extra run late to kind of give you a little more breathing room, they got that as well. And then what did we see late? Well, after Jared Schuster was done, we saw Jesse Chavez get some big outs. Then A.J. Minter, Nick Anderson, and Raisel Iglesias looked a lot more like the three guys that you want them to look like at the end of the game. So a lot of stuff came together in this finale. The offense, if it had been able to score a little bit more those first couple of days, this was a very winnable series. So you are going to kind of leave this feeling like it's a missed opportunity as you head into a three-game set this weekend against the Diamondbacks.
Talking with Grant McCauley as he joins us. Talking to me about the pitching staff. Mike Soroka, now A.J. Smith-Shover. Where are we going with all this? What's the game plan, Grant?
Well, hopefully to more stability in the pitching staff just in general, because, I mean, you and I both know, and all of us on this call are very well aware, as our listeners, if you get Michael Soroka back in your rotation, this is a chance to be a difference maker if he's healthy, and he does appear for the first time in over 2 years to be healthy and able to contribute, and I really liked what I saw from him in his first time out of the chute in the first game of the series. Sure, it didn't go the way you wanted to from a score perspective, but I was very encouraged about that. Now, A.J. Smith-Shawver is a different kind of animal because we're talking about a 20-year-old kid that is now making his fourth stop already this year. He blitzed through the minor leagues briefly in Rome, more briefly in Mississippi, and perhaps just as briefly in Gwinnett. And I think the Braves look at him as somebody they can use out of the bullpen as an arm or a weapon that could just give them some swing and miss. That I think the bullpen's been missing some of that. Raisel Iglesias can do it. A.J. Minter can when he's going. Nick Anderson can do it as well. But I feel like they've got some other relievers, you know, with respect to Colin McHugh, who does it in kind of a different kind of way and maybe he's a kind of a sneaky strikeout guy. This is somebody that comes out pumping 98, 99 miles an hour with a great breaking ball, and they could probably use him much the same way they utilized Spencer Strider a year ago. Maybe it's a couple innings that he comes and gives you, and he doesn't throw every day, every 2-3 days in a row. You kind of have him on a little bit of a schedule because I do think there is a chance at some point if you need him that he could step into rotation. We'll just have to see what all that looks like when we get a more of a timetable on Max Fried or Kyle Wright a little further down the road.
So Schuster goes 5 1/3, second win in the bigs. That was nice to see. You mentioned the bullpen. They got some guys on base, but Minter and Anderson got out of it. And I was going to ask you about last night. Iglesias, that was just god-awful. I mean, behind the count in every at-bat. And, of course, Austin Riley does have the boot, but he didn't load the bases.
Yeah. Yeah, and I said it last night. I mean, I didn't tweet a lot about that one because, to be honest with you, I got enough replies on the first one. But the way I looked at that was you walk the bases loaded against any team in a tie game. I don't care what their record is. You are inviting trouble. And that's the kind of thing that can happen because then you got to make the perfect pitch. You've got to make every play. And those kind of things just didn't happen. I think for Rysell yesterday, and just kind of listening to him talk about it after the game, you know, his grip on the changeup in particular just was not there. And I don't know if it's because it's a little bit cold, because rosin's not going to help you on a cold day. I know Peter Moreland pointed that out on the broadcast, but just for those uninitiated that, you know, haven't talked to a lot of pitchers about it, but that's why we kind of see other substances sometimes are a little bit more ideal than just a rosin bag. But that's a debate for another day. I just feel like that was kind of one of those, you know, one-off, hopefully, appearances where just some things didn't go right for him, but we saw him bounce right back the next day. You always want to see your closer or high-leverage reliever get that chance to redeem himself, and Iglesias was able to do it on Wednesday to close out the win and pick up the save.
What does Grant McCauley want to see this team do better to get them back and rolling where they're going to rip off 7 out of 8, 9 out of 10?
I honestly think it's some situational hitting is the difference in winning games in this series. And it's been the difference in winning, say, a series like the one in Toronto where they got swept, but they had a chance to win that series as well. They had leads in the Houston series that they got swept. But it just seemed to be that, you know, they jump on teams early a lot of times, score a couple of runs in the first inning, and then it's like all quiet until the sixth, seventh inning, and then maybe you see that next rally come around. But I just like to see the offense be able to, you know, balance it out throughout the game, you know, take advantage of some of the opportunities they have. I don't think it's just all chalked up to, well, it's boom or bust. I mean, this is a club that hits the ball incredibly hard up and down the lineup. That is a good trait. I want to point that out. There are going to be some strikeouts, but hitting the ball hard is a big thing. This is not going to be fixed by bunting and things like that. This is an offense that I feel like, you know, maybe there's just, you know, some bad luck that goes into it. But if I could pick one thing that I think would make a difference for this club going forward, it's just to pick up a few more of these opportunities, take a little pressure off this pitching staff, which has dealt with injuries and an overtaxed bullpen as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, they get a night off in Scottsdale. That's a nice place for a slump buster. And then they take on
if you stay out of downside risk, yeah.
Stay in the, take it on the Diamondbacks. But, yeah, Grant, I know that we've asked you about, you know, the lists of things we're going to have to go for in the trade deadline. Obviously, still way too early for Double-A to get on the horse or doing some deals. But I think we just talked about Schuster looks okay. I mean, man, Bryce Elder, who's been the surprise, he's kind of like what we got from Wright last year.
Yeah, he could use a little support.
But that's just it. So you feel that we'll tweak some pitching. And that, again, but we're still – nobody in this division wants to challenge the Braves just yet because everybody's kind of scuffling. Only the Marlins have had a two-game win streak last week.
Yeah, it's you got the Marlins and Mets hovering around 500 right now. We just saw the Phillies. Obviously, they've been struggling themselves. They were able to split the series with Atlanta, so they didn't really lose a lot of ground, but they haven't played well outside of that. And the Nationals have been a little bit better than I thought they'd be. But among the contenders that we expected – the Mets should be at the top of that list, but they have had their own injuries. They've had their own inconsistency. They've had their own offensive struggles on top of that. So I don't really think that this race is heated up, because if last year is any indication, we got a ton of baseball left to be played, because around this time a year ago, the Braves were 9, 10, 10 and a half games out of first place and went on a 14-game win streak that tightened some things up and turned their whole season around. I don't think they necessarily need a 14-game win streak right now, but you'll take one if they're able to roll into Arizona, the place that all got started last year, and maybe turn back the clock and just start to see some consistency in it again. I know a lot of people kind of look at these losses against the A's and, like, you almost take it personally as a fan because you feel like these are winnable games, and they are. But I don't think it's from a lack of trying or a lack of caring or anything like that. Sometimes in this game, you know, it's just not your day, and you hate it when it happens back-to-back days against a team that is as struggling as this Oakland A's club has been.
This might be a goofy question. Did the A's just get up for this because you had the catcher, you had Murph back, and you had Matt Olson? I know Matt Olson was there. They played him last year. The extra sauce because they were playing some guys that used to be on the squad? Or is it just – I've not watched the game in Oakland in years. And I know we talked about it yesterday, but it's just, it is the darndest, depressingest thing in the whole wide world. Now they're lame ducks with the Vegas thing on the way. When the home run got hit the other day off of Soroka, the wall behind it looked like the Berlin Wall. I mean, the whole thing looks like it's just falling apart at the seams.
Yeah, that stadium is the subject of a lot of consternation and has been for the better part of 15 or 20 years, if not longer, because it has not gotten the attention that it should, because a lot of people have felt like this team should have moved out of this ballpark a decade or more ago. So You know, I don't know if Oakland got, you know, the A's, that is, the team itself, got any more fired up just with Sean Murphy or Matt Olson or whatnot back in town. But, you know, when you do go out there and kind of get that big hit in that first, and what was a bit of a, you know, pitcher's duel there. Right. Soroka was throwing it well. Blackburn was throwing pretty well. The reliever they brought in, Ursig, came in, and he threw well. And then all of a sudden, they just got the one hit on that day. And, I will give Oakland credit. I don't think it's just the Braves' bats were cold. I think they did get pitched pretty well in this series. And there's some guys, if you're looking for some depth around the trade deadline, I mean, like, you might want to look at Oakland again, because I think the Braves and A's have made some trades recently. So maybe you find somebody in that mix that might could be had for a little bit cheaper that could just help you out from a depth perspective. They had a couple of nice arms, I guess is what I'm saying. And I feel like this was a series that the Braves are going to look back on, and it will feel like a missed opportunity, but I think a lot of things went into it feeling that way.
Grant McCauley joining us live on Dukes and Bell. John Fricke for Carl Dukes. Grant, as I go to Arizona, just real quick here on two things. One, are you seeing signs that Chipper working with Michael Harris will have him kind of out of the doldrums? It seems like we see some signs, but not many. And should Kevin Pillar get more at-bats?
I think that Pillar has certainly proven himself, so I'll go ahead and answer that one first. I wouldn't be opposed to it. I think Eddie Rosario against righties is probably a matchup, you know, based in the traditional thinking. But Eddie's hit lefties pretty well this year, too. So sometimes you'll see him come down, and Pillar will get the opportunity to hit for him. And it's almost like he's got a little bit of a reverse split going on. But if Pillar gets some more starts out there, you won't get any argument out of me. I think he's earned it and earned those opportunities. He's a good defender. I think he grinds out some good at-bats, and he plays hard. And, you know, the club likes him a lot. So clearly he's proven himself, I think. As far as Harris is concerned, you know, I think that the continuity of just being able to go out there and play for a while is really going to work in his favor. And I do feel like there have been signs, you know, line drives and lifting the ball to left field, that he's starting to figure a few things out. He had a line out in the first game of the series, I think it was. Hardest hit ball of his career, according to StatCast, lined out right at the right fielder. So there have been some hard hit balls. There have also been some strikeouts and other things. But I don't think that he's that far away from kind of figuring it out.
Hey, man, always great catching up with you, Grant. And lucky the timing worked out perfectly. 6 o'clock hour, boom. We snapped the skin against, as John has dubbed them, the double A's.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.